Chapter 18. Anchor, all hail to thee. Yea, all hail. Apostrophe, apostrophe, we grimly shout thee that wast author, fount, and head of these wounds, who ever proven when our times are thoroughly read. May thy love be slighted, blighted, and forsaken, apostrophe be it said by thy victims, and thy children beg their bread. Apostrophe, apostrophe, nay, a richer malediction. Rather let this thing befall in time's hurling, and unfurling on the night when comes thy call, that compassion do thy pillow and bedrench thy senses all for thy victims, till death dark thee with his pall. August 1915. Before marching and after in memoriam F.W. G. Orion swung southward aslant, where the starved Egdon pine trees had thinned, the pleats aloft seemed to pant with the heather that twitched in the wind. But he looked on indifferent to sights such as these, unswayed by love, friendship, home joy or home sorrow, and wondered to what he would march on the morrow. The crazed household clock with its whir rang midnight within as he stood. He heard the low sighing of her who had striven from his birth for his good. But he still only asked the spring starlight, the breeze, what great thing or small thing his history would borrow from that game with death he would play on the morrow. When the heath wore the robe of late summer, and the fuchsia bells, hot in the sun, hung red by the door, a quick comer brought tidings that marching was done for him who had joined in that game overseas, where death stood to win, though his name was to borrow a brightness therefrom not to fade on the morrow. September 1915. Often when warring, for he wist not what, an enemy soldier, passing by one week, has tendered water, wiped the burning cheek, and cooled the lips so black, and clammed and hot, then gone his way, and maybe quite forgot the deed of grace amid the roar and reek, yet larger vision than loud arms bespeak he there has reached, although he has known it not. For natural minsight, triumphing in the act over the throes of artificial rage, has thuswise muffled victory's peal of pride, rendered to ribbons policy's specious page that deals but with evasion, code, and pact, and war's apology wholly stultified. 1915. Then and now, when battles were fought with a chivalrous sense of should and ought, in spirit men said, "N.D. we quick or dead, honor is some reward. Let us fight fair for our own best or worst. So, gentlemen of the guard, fire first." In the open they stood, man to man in his knightlyhood. They would not deign to profit by a stain on the honorable rules, knowing that practice perfidy no man durst who in the heroic schools was nursed. But now, behold, what is warfare wherein honor is not? Rommel laments its dead innocence. Herod breathes. Lie slaughter shall rule. Let us, by modes once called accursed, overhead, underwater, stab first. 1915. A call to national service, up and be doing, all who have a hand to lift, a back to bend. It must not be in times like these that vaguely linger we to air our vaunts and hopes, and leave our land untended as a wild of weeds and sand. Say, then, I come, and go, O women and men of Pallas, plowshare, easel, counter, pen, that scareless, scathless, England still may stand. Would ears but let me stir as once I stirred at many a dawn, to take the forward track, and with a stride plunged on to enterprise, I now would speed like yester wind that whirred through yielding pines, and serve with never a slack, so loud for promptness all around outcries. March 1917. The dead and the living one, the dead woman lay in her first night's grave, and twilight fell from the clouds concave, and those as he had asked to forgive forgave. The woman passing came to a pause by the heaped white shapes of wreath and cross, and looked upon where the other was. And as she mused there thus spoke she, "Never your countenance did I see, but you've been a good, good friend to me." Rose a plaintive voice from the sod below, "O woman whose accents I do not know, what is it that makes you approve me so? O dead one, ere my soldier went, I heard him saying, with warm intent, to his friend, when won by your blandishment, I would change for that lass here and now. and if I return I may break my vow to my present love, and contrive somehow to call my own this new-found pearl, whose eyes have the light, whose lips the curl, I always have looked for in a girl. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and this is why that, by ceasing to be though never your countenance did I see you prove you a good, good friend to me. And I pray each hour for your soul's repose and gratitude for your joining those no lover will clasp when his campaign's close. Away she turned, when arose to her eye a martial phantom of gory dye, that said, with a thin and far-off sigh, O sweetheart, neither shall I clasp you, for the foe this day has pierced me through, and sent me to where she is. Adieu. And forget not when the night wind's wine calls over this turf where her limbs recline, that it travels on to lament by mine. There was a cry by the white-flowered mound, there was a laugh from underground, there was a deeper gloom around. 1915. A New Year's Eve in wartime? I, phantasmal fears, and the flap of the flame, and the throb of the clock, and a loosened slate, and the blind night's drone, which tiredly the spectral pines entwone. 2, and the blood in my ears strumming all was the same, and the gable cock with its fitful grate, and myself, alone. 3, the 12th hour nears and hid, as in shame, I undo the lock, and listen, and wait for the young unknown. IV, in the dark their careers, as if death astride came to numb all with his knock a horse at mad rate over rut and stone. V, no figure appears, no call of my name, no sound but tick-tock without check. Past the gate it clatters is gone. Vi, what rider it bears there is none to proclaim, and the old year has struck, and, scarce animate, the new makes moan. Vi, it may be that, or tears. More famine and flame, more severance and shock, is the order from fate, that the rider speeds on to pale Europe, and tiredly the pines entwone. 1915-1916. I met a man when night was nigh, who said, with shining face and eye like Moses's after Sinai, have seen the molder of monarchies, realms, peoples, plains, and hills, sitting upon the sunlit seas. And, as he sat, soliloquies fell from him like an antiphonic breeze that pricks the waves to thrills. It seemed that of the maimed and dead mown down upon the globe, their plenteous blooms of promise shed ere fruiting time his words were said, sitting against the western web of red wrapped in his crimson robe. And I could catch them now and then. Why let these gambling clans of human cockers, pit leech men from mart and city, dale and glen, and death mains, but to swell, and swell again their swollen all-empery plans, when a mere nod, if my malign compeer, but passive keep, would mend that old mistake of mine? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.